So Totally Business Savvy, episode 30. Hey everybody, welcome to So Totally Business Savvy. This is Dean Soto, and today we are going to be having a pretty awesome show. This is probably going to be the funnest interview that I have ever had with anybody on the show, and I think you're going to get a lot out of it. So I'm going to be talking with Matt Galizzi on the show, and also going to be talking about some big decisions that are going to happen within the next few weeks, almost without my needing to actually make a decision. But we'll talk about that and more coming up on So Totally Business Savvy. All right, everyone, welcome once again to So Totally Business Savvy. This is Dean Soto from YouCanWorkLess.com. And this is the show that is all about getting out there, being productive, starting something, a business, an event, anything that will bring you personal satisfaction and so on. But mainly about business, mainly about starting up your own business, not being afraid to get out there, start talking to business owners, people who need your help, to get online, who need your help to find the most organic food possible, whatever it is that you can do to benefit another person. That is what we are all about here. So I have an awesome interview with Matt Galizzi, but I'm going to talk about something really quickly before we get into it. But I want most of the show to actually be about this because I've seriously never had so much fun on this show with someone who is really starting to be a good friend of mine that I met through social media. And we're actually going to be doing a talk together. We're going to be on a panel together on the 11th of June for Latino 2 up in Silicon Valley. So if you are around, definitely go and check out. If you Google Latino 2, you can get the registration information and come and join us and check us out and introduce yourself and love to get to know you. All right, so yeah, the thing that I want to talk about beforehand is that there are some big decisions that need to be made, some things that are coming down the pipe that are going to change a lot of things. So I have, for those of you who do not know, my newborn son, well, not newborn, and soon to be born son is coming, Soren Charles Soto, and I can't wait for that to happen. It's going to be in about two weeks, give or take, depending on if he wants to come out or not. And what's going to happen with that is I am going to, I'm sure you know that I have my full-time job still, but I am going to be taking six weeks off. Ooh, 6 weeks off of full-time work. But I will be getting 50% of my pay for my full-time job. So it's going to, I'll at least have some cushion. And, I get things from my side business. If you don't know how much I make on my side business, you can go to youcanworkless.com/May report. And I'll link that to my May report, income versus time report. And you can see how much I make there. So I'm pretty confident that things will go well. But it's still scary at the same time. 6 weeks off, that's a month and a half. That's a lot of capital that if I were to make absolutely nothing during that time, and of course that's just a fear, that it would really dig into the savings, and that's not something that I want to do. But the chance to go out and do something fully on my own is something that's super appealing to me. And I like the fact that I have virtual assistants that help me one in particular who is just amazing, and he helps me with everything that I do, and even with my business decisions, which is very rare for a virtual assistant to do. He helps me with that. And so, you know, it's nice having the comfort of a steady paycheck, but at the same time, it takes a lot of time away from possibilities. It takes a lot of time away from things that could be happening, whether it be doing web development for companies or networking or whatever. It takes a lot of time. So I'm guessing in about 2 weeks, I will be fully on my own for at least 6 weeks. And that means that I will be able to interact with you folk a lot more. So if that's something that's appealing to you, I would love to get your questions. I will be answering probably a lot more questions and any feedback that you might have. It'll be a lot more easier. Let's use some correct grammar here. It would be a lot easier for me to do so, and I would love to just hear what you got. So, if you have maybe a question of where do I go to find a virtual assistant? What do I need a virtual assistant for? What do I do in order to get a business license? What do I do in order to start a business? How do I find a niche? Whatever your question is, please just let me know. You can send me an email at dean@prosulum, dean@prosulum.com. Or you could go to youcanworkless.com, sign up for my newsletter, and just reply to one of the emails that are automatically sent out. And I send out emails too, just on my own ad hoc. So yeah, feel free. And you can also leave some voicemail feedback, which is always awesome. 714-643-5301. All right. So that's it. That was the big decision. I'm nervous about it. If you can't tell, I'm kind of nervous about it because I don't want to fail. This is a time where I think I can use the time, as long as I'm not lazy about it. I can use the time to really go out and network. And, you know, my target right now is large CPA firms, nonprofits, and so on. And that's what we need to go at. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens. All right. That being said, let's move on to the interview. So I'm going to let him introduce himself. But this is a guy who I had met in social media on Twitter. We had gone to a couple of different things. He actually helped out with ConnectOC a year ago. And that's really where we met, and we were talking, and we just kind of clicked. He is an amazing guy who speaks all over the place. So if you want to know if you want to learn how to get speaking gigs and so on, he is the master at that. He speaks all over, and he doesn't use it to get paid yet, but actually I think he has one new gig where he is, Overall, he is just an amazing character, and I'm going to stop singing his praises right now. So here is the interview that I have, that I had with Matt Galitzi. All right, everyone. I am here with Matt Galitzi, and Matt Galitzi is a social media friend of mine who I've met at through Twitter and just had a lot of meetups, and has actually become a pretty good friend. And we're going to be doing some things in the future together, which I'll talk about later on. But Matt, introduce yourself to everyone and let everyone know who you are.
All right. My name is Matthew Galitzi, and I am an entrepreneur. All right. I think, is that it? No, I work in the mobile space, building websites for smartphones and QR codes and helping businesses engage with their consumer through the smartphone. Been doing that for about the past year and a half, and I've been in business for 5 years.
That's awesome.
And I love the entrepreneur game.
That is awesome. And actually, you just graduated from college, right? Not too long ago?
Yes, in May of 2009.
May of 09. And he's been doing this for 5 years. He's been doing the entrepreneur thing for 5 years. So that's pretty...
6 years.
6 years. Oh, man, that is crazy.
I just wanted to interrupt you. So. I'm just messing.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe this was a bad idea. No, just kidding. So, yeah, like what made you want to do the whole entrepreneur thing? Why not just get a job out, you know, when you're done with college, why not just get a good, steady paying job?
Good question. Just because I'm wired to be an entrepreneur. Gary Vaynerchuk often talks about playing to your DNA and knowing your strengths. And I feel like that's just kind of my strength, is just doing my own thing and kind of paving my own path in life. And from the time I was 9 years old, like I was a different child growing up, and I had different experiences and have been extremely blessed with supportive parents and friends and family and community and whatnot. And I just kind of got right into it. I turned 18, got my business license, got the DBA, and got the stuff just rolling without even, you know, no one even pointed me in that direction. I just knew that's what I wanted to do. And I've always kind of had this passion in life to just know what I like and what I don't like. And I try new things and just jump right in.
That is awesome. Seriously, that is so cool. Yeah, you know, you and I are opposites, definitely opposites in that respect. I have never wanted to be an entrepreneur until for the like last 2 years. It's like it's all new. And so I'm actually envious because, you know, you had so much, you know, that's just who you are. And me, I'm go ahead.
How much of the family played a role in the entrepreneurship and like maybe building a business to run itself so you can spend more time with your child, kids? I mean, did that play a role in you wanting to do that?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, totally. But I was happy beforehand, you know. I was happy with the job. It was when I came back from my military stint. I think that's what was the kind of the catalyst. But that's cool, man. So
I have a bucket list I'm checking off. I've already interrupted you, and then I've asked you a question. So
oh man.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Man. No worries. Yeah, this was a bad idea. So what happened? Why did you go into the mobile realm, and why did you position yourself there?
Good question. When I started out, when I was nine, I grabbed a PHP book and just started learning, and that's kind of where it all started. So between like ages 9 and really up till now, I've kind of dabbled in a lot with PHP and just programming languages and some videography, video editing, some photography stuff, 3D modeling stuff, and I've kind of done a lot as it relates to tech. So because of that, I'm able to speak these different languages in these different areas and kind of have an idea of how things work because I've dabbled a lot here and there. And when I finished college, I graduated with the business entrepreneurship program at Cal State Fullerton. We're taught to go where the opportunity is. So I finished school, where's the opportunity? And throughout college, with my business, I was primarily doing web design, web programming, some Linux administration stuff, and some IT stuff. It was kind of all over the place. I wasn't really focused in one specific area. So when I graduated, I was trying to find out where the opportunity was, and I just spent a month or two just reading, learning, and reading trend reports and one after another, and was reading, you know, all those lists that people publish at the end of the year, the top 10 things for 2010. Mm-hmm. And mobile was on the list of all that stuff. So I'm doing mobile, so I just kind of jumped into it and was doing mobile website stuff, app stuff, and text message marketing. And little by little, I've been refining my offering to what I enjoy doing more, and which it's really come down to just the mobile web and QR code stuff and whatnot.
Cool. So yeah, explain to me. I'm a business owner. I'm a small business owner, maybe a restaurant or something like that. Mm-hmm. What can that do for me? Why do I need to hire you? That's a great explanation.
I'm just kidding. Because really, the smartphone has infiltrated our society, and it's embedded into every part of our lives. Even I was experimenting with an app that wakes me up based off of when I'm in REM sleep and when I'm out of REM sleep, and it's just infiltrated our lives so much. So for businesses, it's important to recognize that, because there's a lot of opportunity if you communicate with a consumer the way they want to be communicated with. So people are on their smartphones going to websites from their smartphones, or, you know, they're on Twitter or Facebook, and a lot of social media activities done through smartphones, and people are on their smartphones. I think there was even one stat that comes to mind is, I think 33% of people check they're on their smartphone in the bathroom. I mean, so you think about this stuff, and it's hilarious, because that's just kind of the way things are going. So where I would come in is help a business to engage with their consumer through their smartphone, be it optimizing their website for the smartphone user, which means building the website for the small screen and optimizing the images and the copy, so it's overall a positive experience, or something like QR codes where you scan a QR code on your phone and it takes you to a customer survey or customer feedback form or something like that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, as opposed to, for instance, right now you go to a store and my biggest pet peeve is you get a receipt and it says, you know, go home, fill out this form on this website, and you'll be entered to win $1,000 or something like that.
Yeah, I know. And I have never in my life have I ever done that.
Yes.
Even if it's something big, even with something like win $10,000, I have never done that, which kind of sucks, because if I'm like everyone else, then I probably had a good chance of winning. But if I got a receipt that had a mm-hmm. QR code scanner on there that said, you know, hey, scan this and you'll be entered to win, blah, blah, blah. And all you have to do is scan this and enter in your email. Boom. I would probably do that.
Yeah, and so the smartphone allows businesses to reach the consumer at the point of experience, and sometimes even at the point of purchase. So knowing that and really capitalizing that on that, there's a lot of opportunity for businesses in doing that. So mm-hmm. yeah,
mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. That's great. Now like, what has been your experience so far with business owners? Are they because I can tell you right now, even with internet marketing and just online marketing in general, which is what I do for my guys, for my clients, they tend to be about 10 years behind the times. I'm not joking. I just had a veterinarian that, I swear, there was like, it was either between my product or a product that had like flying toasters and animated hearts and stuff on their website. And they were seriously considering that other website. So, like, what do you get? Do you get people that jump right on board, or do you get kind of pushback? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, first off, I want to say I love animated GIF files. So I wouldn't diss the animated GIF files from the 90s too much. So just I'm just kidding. A lot of the methods that I practice are pull. There's the push and there's the pull marketing. Mm-hmm. Permissible marketing or interruption-based marketing. I kind of do a lot of the pull stuff where, instead of me trying to go out and cold call a lot of these companies and finding out, or businesses, and find out if they want.
Whoop, there goes Skype. Hold on one second. You just went out on Skype a little bit, but you said I do more of the pull marketing.
Yeah, more of the pull marketing, and I mostly find people who are interested in what I have to offer, as opposed to going out and surprising someone with, hey, you should be doing this because mm-hmm. of these reasons, and it costs this much money.
So how do you do that?
Yeah, so the conversation's happening. I just inject myself into it, and I do that mostly through some SEO and then Twitter search. Twitter search is one of the greatest things ever, and I listen and engage with probably thousands of people over the past few months, and I find people asking questions about QR codes or asking questions about mobile websites, and I just jump into the conversation with extreme interest, because the people are talking about it. So, mm-hmm. So be it through Twitter or SEO, and then I mostly do pull stuff, but I do a little bit. Not, I don't want to say push, but I do speaking, because a lot of it's an awareness thing. Business looks at the website on their smartphone and they think it works fine, right? But they don't realize that the pinching, the scrolling, the horizontal, vertical nav bars, the tiny text, the navigation menu with rollover mm-hmm. items, it's not built for a smartphone. So even though it works, overall it's a bad experience, and I help to make that experience better. So, yes.
That's awesome. So, you mentioned speaking. First, that just goes to show the power of social media in general.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a real snippet for anyone that's not utilizing this. Social media is a relationship building tool. Mm-hmm. And I have gotten a few of my largest clients from listening, engaging, giving it a month or two, exchanging tweets, and next thing I'm on the know, next thing I know, I'm on the phone with the partners of the marketing agency, or a meeting in San Diego with half of the team. It's just about taking things online and taking them offline and building that relationship. That's all it's about. And yes, it's for some of these partnerships that I'm forming, the process takes a while. So building the relationship over time, it's amazing how it unfolds. And every time it happens, I am so just in awe of the power of social media.
Yeah, isn't it? Oh, that's so that is awesome, man. That you know, like I try and instill that into so many people, but you know, a lot of people don't see the ROI. And right there, right then and there, of what you're saying, it totally shows. I mean, you and I met off of social media, and you know, we try and push people that, like, I know I try and push people who ask for mobile stuff to you, and then vice versa. You've recommended me to a couple of people, and this is just because we've met, we built a relationship, and there you go. And so that's awesome. That is so cool.
It's like, I think our relationship is maybe 95% humor and 5% like real stuff. Just kidding.
But I'm the funny one.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I know. I think the majority of our conversation is picking on each other. But yeah.
If I could speak to the ROI stuff real quick. Yeah. I was at the SMMOC, and I know you know about this group. It's a social media mastermind group that I go to. And there's this gentleman there by the name Jerry Reed. I think he's in his 70s or so, but he is so hungry to learn. And we were talking about ROI, and he normally doesn't speak up that much. And he said this one thing, and I think you heard it from someone else, but still, he said, you know, it depends on what the I is in ROI, right? Well, a lot of people say that, but his response was, well, what's the result of ignoring it?
Oh, that's good.
Right? So, I mean, you can sit back and question this ROI stuff all you want, but the people that get it, they're going to crush it, and they're going to move forward, and it's a paradigm shift, and it's a huge paradigm shift, but we have to be vulnerable to that and putting ourselves in a position to try new things, and it will happen because it's happening already, and there's case studies every day about this stuff, but all right, I'm going to stop now.
No, that's great stuff, man. Seriously, it's the way it's going to be. And whether you like it or not, that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, honestly, to me, it's a good thing because people who are authentic like you, like me, and people that we hang out with on social media, I think those are the people who thrive. And you know immediately who's fake and who's not. Because with social media, you cannot fake the funk.
That's so true. Yes.
I'm quoting that. Cannot fake the funk. No, just kidding.
No, that's so true. And it goes back to even like if I pull in clients, I also attract the people I like to be around, like you. And that energy that you have in real life, it's conveyed via social media sometimes. And after meeting so many people online and then in person, you begin to learn the dynamics of the way people tweet and then the way they are in real life. And it's really fascinating.
Yeah, without a doubt. Oh, yeah. Totally. So what was the second question? We talked about ROI. Speaking. That's what I was going to say.
Yes, speaking.
Everyone that I know, a huge amount of my audience wants to know, how do you get speaking gigs? Actually, just two episodes ago, someone called in and asked about workshops. How do you get into workshops and so on? Mm-hmm. So what's your secret? Because you speak at so many damn places, and it's crazy. And you don't charge, which I'm like, why
changing.
In the heck? Okay, good.
You have affected my thought process
good.
On that.
Yeah.
So you've won. Yeah, to anyone that doesn't know Dean that well, Dean is awesome at challenging and pushing back, and I'm so thankful that he does that on some stuff, because really it's just like, you know, that thought wouldn't have crossed my mind unless you said something and said, no, regardless of what you're doing, you're still putting time and effort into something, and that shouldn't be taken, you know, for free. So
I'm sending you an invoice for this.
Make sure you follow the
proposal.
$1 million consulting there guidelines. No, I'm just okay. Back to your question. I'm sorry. So we talk about core competencies in business or competitive advantages, right? Mm-hmm. Well, my competitive advantage in business is relationships, because no one can take the relationships I have with people. okay, like relationships with you. So a lot of everything from business, from clients to partners to referrals to speaking engagements, it all comes out of relationships and knowing people and knowing that people know what I do and recommending me. Or even, I was at this conference last year in San Diego, Neil Schaefer, we both know Neil, spoke at LavaCon.
Oh, yeah.
I was down there, I sponsored it, and I was down there for the weekend, and I just shot the guy an email earlier this morning, and he already got back to me, and there's a conference in Texas, and I just sent him a brief outline, like, do you think this is relevant to your audience? And he responded with, yes, I already put it on the program, like, I'm in, you can speak in Texas, and I'm like, okay. that came from building a relationship with him, and that's it. It's all about the relationship. So really just getting out there, networking, and if I have any advice, and you might push back on this, is to focus on one thing and to really know how to articulate that, because the fewer things you do or the better you can articulate something, the better someone can remember someone you buy. So, like, for Dean, you talk about virtual assistants, and I've talked with people, and they say two letters, VA, and you're the first person that pops up in my mind. That front of mind is so powerful, and I think that too many of us try to do too many things, and the idea is the more I do, the more I can cater to people. And Bill Cosby said, I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everyone. Mm-hmm. So there's power in clarity. That's Anthony Robbins. So anyways, being able to articulate very precisely what you do will help you be front of mind so that people can refer you to clients or to speaking engagements or what have you.
Yeah, that is perfect, man. No, I'm not going to push back on that. That's awesome. No, because it's true. Yeah, it's true. And that's actually something that I'm afraid of sometimes. I'm very hard. It's very hard for me because I tend to be a generalist to niche down to something. So I actually, the way that I ended up doing that was I my web development stuff, quote unquote, is actually under someone else's business. And so, we're just doing a joint venture type thing. And so when I'm talking to someone that I feel is going to be that, then I'll say, oh, yeah, I'm with such and such a business. But if I'm talking to someone who would want a virtual assistant, who would want to know like that type of stuff, I'm like, oh, that's what I do. I help people get virtual assistants and so on. Mm-hmm. So it's very, that's extremely hard.
And I also want to say, I know I'm speaking and I'm kind of pumped about it, but it's definitely easier said than done. And I can relate to you a little bit in that we both came out of the programming background a little bit, and we want that like control of like, I want to offer this and I want to help people and I want to cater to people. And I totally understand that. And it's definitely not easy to focus and niche down. But once you do and you can speak to your audience that much more clearly, people will know what you do that much more clearly and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I do want to say it's definitely easier said than done.
Yeah. Oh, no, totally. Totally. But you make it kind of palatable, which is good, which is awesome. And you're doing it, which is cool. So when you're speaking, how do you... like, is there a certain strategy that you have as far as who you speak to?
Primarily, forward thinkers, social media type people, or business, small business owners, or probably in that realm. And I usually just go and I speak for an hour and leave. I don't want any input from anyone. I'm very dry. I monotone. I don't really care about the people. I just want to get my message out. No, I'm just
I'm like, wait, is this the same guy?
No, I'm just messing. So primarily small business owners or business owners, and it just depends on sometimes I get I spoke to a group of IT heads for local government cities, municipalities. And so that was like different audience, and I had to know how to cater that audience. And I spent time, figuring out what it is that they need and trying to put myself in their shoes to make sure my message is relevant, because I need to be relevant when I speak and go into an audience. So I'd say most of the time it's probably business owners or entrepreneurs or what have you. But if I do take something else like that, then I need to make sure to cater my message appropriately.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point.
And make it an engaging conversation.
Nice.
Well, right? Because, in the social media era, everyone wants to engage and, be a part of the conversation that's happening. So I think it's important, too, for speakers to not only speak, but to lead a discussion.
Yeah, exactly.
Be a discussion leader.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. More of a dialogue where it's not just a lecture. It's
Exactly.
That's cool. That's very cool.
And then I'm Italian, so my hands are going all over the place when I'm speaking, and that's probably the best part.
Oh, man. So is that what I get to expect? Because I'm going to be on the same panel, apparently, as you are for the mobile app stuff. So
yeah, now that's just dangerous.
I know.
It's gonna I don't know what she's doing.
I know. I was like, sure, I'll do it. So yeah, if anyone who doesn't know, we'll be at the Latino 2 conference in Silicon Valley on the 11th of June. So that should be fun. That'd be, I think, right? 11th?
Yeah, 11th, yeah,
cool.
Saturday.
Cool. Yeah. So that should be interesting. Yeah, hands flying all over. So what is pricing? Like, let's talk pricing. You're in a service business. You just get a new client. How do you start pricing stuff?
Normally, I put off pricing till the very end. I mean, and assuming I know that their budget is within reason, but I just try to. Part of my 3-step process is listen, collaborate, build. And the idea is ask questions, learn as much as I can, and then collaborate on, okay, this is what I think. This is the creative element that I bring in the mobile space, and I love the brainstorming process. So then we collaborate and then set price and then build. Price-wise, because I do mobile websites and then QR codes, prices for the mobile sites normally start around $1,500, and then the QR code landing pages, it really varies because the landing pages can be pretty complicated in you can have one page, you can have a set of 5 pages or what have you. So that's kind of all over the place. But with pricing, I found that it's more of an art than a science, right? I mean, I know that there's people that's just way too much for a small business or what have you. But the person that does pay it is also less picky. Mm-hmm. They're also more trusting of you as the expert.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to note that the different price points bring in different types of clients. And knowing that can definitely affect the quality of your life in business. So it's really important just to set that right.
That is awesome. That was such a good point, seriously, about the not necessarily price point. You know, a lot of people are worried that about, oh, I'm going to charge so high. If I charge too high, then they're going to not go with me.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of bring in the really good point that, you know, you might not want them to go with you because they might just be super, super picky. That's why I actually don't do anything. I mean, rarely do I do anything for free anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Because you get disrespected.
Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating too. I mean, to a certain extent, you're an artist in your work and you have the creative freedom to do what you want. And when you're providing something of a lot of value, and you know it's a lot of it's of high value, but the person's getting it for A, free, or B, cheap.
Mm-hmm.
They're not truly understanding the value that you bring to the table, and when they don't give you that creative freedom to exercise what you do in your work when you are the expert, it's frustrating. Oh, I mean, it's super frustrating.
Seriously, so. Oh my gosh, you're like totally reading my mind. We should have talked about this a long time ago, man. Seriously, because one of the things that is so frustrating is when you know you've been doing this for a long time, especially when it comes to internet marketing and really helping a website to become successful in placement and user experience and so on, and when a client who thinks they know better pushes back and says, well, no, I'd like to have the dancing Jesus over here on the left, and I'm like,
I told you, I'm for gift files. You keep begging on the... I totally agree.
And for anyone who doesn't know that reference, that's a Simpsons reference. Anyway, but yeah, it's super frustrating. And
it's not that you need to like be a brick wall to those people that don't want to work for you, don't want to work with you. Just send them somewhere else. Like, I make friends with competitors because we take on different clients and we have different visions and we want different things out of life, and I meet with them for that reason, to collaboration over competition. And there's some competitors in my space, in my area, that they're okay with that, and that's fine. That's fine. Just to each their own.
Yeah, totally. And give them the problem ones. That's great.
No. Yeah.
So, like, what do you what's your typical sales cycle?
It sales cycle.
So like if I were I were a new client, I'm a bakery that's been doing awesome stuff, and I really need a mobile user experience, mm-hmm. and I'm willing to pay $15,000 for for whatever you're gonna do. What would I'd probably be a warm lead. I heard you speaking. Then what? I asked you to meet with me.
Yeah, probably meet, and probably goes back to the three-step process I mentioned earlier, which is just listen, collaborate, build. And first, I just listen to their needs, collaborate on a few ideas that I think might be relevant to their needs, and then build up a proposal using your template.
Oh, yeah.
So Dean's template, one of the things I like most about Dean's template, and he had a blog post on this, is there's three different options that you can provide. So in the midst of the creative process and giving feedback on the client's needs, I'm able to have the freedom to provide three different options. And usually the lowest option is, you know, at least what they want. And then I get creative in adding two other options with, oh, this would be cool. And I've had clients go with the second option, which was priced higher than the first, thanks to Dean.
That's cool.
For giving me that idea. So yes, thank you for that.
No problem. Invoice. I'm going to invoice.
And then after the proposal, really narrow down the specifics and things like a site map or what have you. And then build. And then process usually takes around a month. And then deliver.
That's great. That's so cool. What's been the most... Okay, so two-prong attack. What has been the worst mistake that you've ever made, or the most embarrassing mistake that you've ever made? And then after that, it's going to be what was the biggest win that you've ever had?
Biggest mistake was probably not... I went to this conference that Neil Schaefer was at, LavaCon, and I spoke with one of the speakers afterwards. They were from a marketing agency, and I kind of talked with them and said, you know, I do mobile stuff. You guys aren't really doing that. I checked out your work, and I can help expand your offering. We could partner on this stuff and what have you. And turns out she was very receptive to that, and we had a phone call lined up. And within the few days of the call, she's like, oh, I'm going to bring so-and-so on the call. And, oh, I'm going to bring so-and-so on the call, too. He's going to be available. And before I know it, I'm meeting with three other people on the call or four or something like that. And they're from all different, they're around the United States, different offices. Right. And so we got on the call and she asked me some questions that I not only wasn't prepared for, but it was really out of my realm. They were actually a super large agency, which they had clients such as Petco and whatnot that they had done work for, just Fortune 500s and whatnot. So I was a smaller guy, and to a certain extent, I don't really want to go after super large clients. So the questions that they were asking were very, you know, analytical. What was the ROI on these projects? Show us numbers and stuff. And I really didn't have that kind of stuff. So so because I failed to qualify the call, we got on the call and she had asked some questions, and I was essentially like, you know, I don't have that right now. And pretty much ended the call within like 10 minutes. And it was pretty embarrassing. But it was a learning experience, and I didn't walk. I mean, sure, I was a little bummed that wow, that just went terrible. But it was a learning experience. And I remember when I saw Seth Godin speak, he said, "If I fail more than you, I win."
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that is awesome.
If you're getting out there pushing, trying stuff, and not afraid of failure, and it kind of I want to write an article on this, like why you should be a programmer or why you should understand the way the programming mind works. Because when you code, you have a bug. And when you have a bug in the code, you have no option. You have to go find the bug. If it takes you an hour, it takes you an hour. If it takes you 6 hours, if it takes you 3 days, you know, you have to find that problem and solve it. And,
like you vanilla have to
keep,
ice.
Yeah. Keep like trying ice. Things in the code and figuring out what makes it work more efficient. A lot of same concepts in business. And so it's like, I feel like that mindset has come to me in business, and I'm not afraid to fail
awesome.
Like that. And man, it is super embarrassing. And I'm just like, you know, but well, I'm on the same topic and I will end on this. There was a quote my dad once told me that he heard from a TV thing he was watching. It was, a bad day for the ego is a good day for the soul. Bad day for the ego is a good day for the
that
soul.
So good.
As long as we're open, we open our minds, and we're okay to be vulnerable, because to be vulnerable, you know, takes courage to put ourselves in that position because we don't want to be uncomfortable. Then you will win. It will take time, and you will fall hard sometimes. But success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is a courage to continue that counts.
That's awesome. dude, you're like, yeah, these are great. These are awesome. Seriously, the hardest part is just doing it and executing and doing it again and again and again and again and again. It's hard to communicate that. I mean, you couldn't have said it better, my friend. That was great. You can invoice me.
So fourth thing on my bucket list for this call is that you treat me to lunch after this.
Sweet.
You love me that much more after this call.
Sweet. No, I mean, seriously, the thinking like a programmer, that was a good article. I'm going to try and write that before you do so I can claim it.
Oh,
and then, but no, it's true because, you know, as you're, I mean, you have, like you said, you have no choice. Your website is not working. You have no choice but to go and fix it. And it makes your website better. It makes you better. And you figure out, oh, how can I avoid this in the future? How can I maybe even outsource it? Maybe you always find a way to do that. And then the other thing was, you know, it's the vanilla ice mindset. Like, you know, you got a problem. Yo, I'll solve it. sorry. That was really
I've bad. Never heard that one before.
You're probably too young for vanilla ice.
What's vanilla ice?
Only the whitest rapper ever. Oh, man. That's how old I am. But how cool. No, that is great. So, biggest win.
Biggest win.
And you probably wouldn't have this win had you not failed that much.
Right. I think probably the biggest win has to be my first positive Twitter experience of engaging. Someone had tweeted looking for mobile website design inspirations, and I was I focus on that stuff, and I use Delicious and bookmark a ton of stuff. So I just pulled up a link I had, you know, no big deal. It took me a minute, shot the guy a link, and it was a page with a bunch of mobile website designs. Mm-hmm. So we exchange a few tweets. A few weeks later, I find out he's an interactive designer at a marketing agency in DC, and we exchange a few tweets over the course of a few weeks, and next thing you know, we connected on LinkedIn, and he kind of saw a little bit more of my background and stuff. And next thing I knew, I was on a call with the partners of that agency that he works at, and they were thinking about getting into mobile. And he pretty much completely just vouched for me and believed in me.
Wow.
And believed in what I had brought to the table and my energy and stuff. And I don't take that kind of stuff lightly. Anyone who you know, who shows that much interest in someone else, I think should not be taken lightly. And I think a lot of businesses take that kind of stuff for granted.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Needless to say, we had that conference call, and then they get mobile. So I don't need to pitch them on mobile. And next thing I know, I have a partner out there, you know, pitching mobile, and then also pitching some of my offering, my mobile platform that I use in their presentations to clients. And we've probably done a dozen mobile websites together in the past few months, and that is priceless. And that all that came out of just listening and engaging, being human, and building a relationship.
Totally. And I mean, it wasn't like you said, "Hey, I build mobile websites. Here you go. Check this out. This is what I did." It was, "Hey, here's a good place for some inspiration, and you know, hey, and building a relationship, and just wow, that is so cool, man."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Man. I need to engage more people. No, because it's fun. It's, you know, that, yeah, it does. Sometimes it gets hard, like where, you know, sometimes you're just kind of, I don't know, maybe I have to target my Twitter experience a little bit more. But sometimes, you know, I just talk to the people I know all the time. So,
And back to what I was saying about the focusing and niche stuff, like all of the stuff is extremely difficult to transition to. And there's pros and cons to all of it. But at the very least, I want to open the thought to, you know, people listening in on this, that there is definitely opportunity there if you can listen. And like the con is it takes a lot of time.
Yeah, totally.
It really does. I mean, there was a time where I'm just like, Twitter crash course, I'm going to engage as much as I can this week. And I was like obsessing over tweets, and I got to the point where I couldn't control myself, and I was waking up and reading and falling asleep and reading tweets, and oh my gosh, it was crazy. But so there's definitely a balance in all of this, but at the very least, I wanted to spark the idea.
That's cool. That's awesome, man. So QR codes, mobile websites, you're basically positioning yourself to be that. Do you see, you know, I know we're talking a lot, but I think this is awesome stuff. Do you see like people because of that positioning where they just contact you out of the blue for stuff like that now?
Oh, yeah. I know I talked about the more specific you are and the more you can define your offering, the easier you'll come to mind with people. Well, I say that because I have that. And this is, again, this is something else that I do not take lightly, and I'm extremely thankful for some people. But I wake up, and a few times a week, someone's like, did you see this article on QR codes in New York Times? Or did you see the front of Washington Post article or something like that? I mean, people are shooting me resources on QR codes Wow. being talked about. They are. I mean, I don't want to belittle by saying that they're like ants, but they're, you know, people out in the field that are finding stuff and they're spotting it and they're letting me know about it. And then they're also referring me to other people. And like, again, I keep saying this again, but I do not take that lightly. And it's important to position yourself properly, because when you have that, when you have that recognition, when you have that first of mind, it is so awesome.
Wow.
Because it's like, instead of obsessing over all the news that's coming out, you can just wait because it'll come to you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the idea of relevant news will come to you in your social feed somewhere, because, you know, if it's important, someone's going to talk about it, someone's going to reshare it or what have you. And it's like, when you build that little audience of people that love what you do, and they love the same stuff because it's cutting edge tech, and they get to be a part of your journey, like, oh, that is so awesome.
Wow. No, that is so cool. I mean, in most companies, when you think about it, most companies pay big bucks for people who go out and they find opportunities like that.
Oh, interesting.
And mm-hmm. you have your own research firm and your own real sales force, because, you know, like you said, you have people who are vouching for you. You have people who know exactly what your target is, what your expertise is, what you do, and can easily, without hesitation, like you said, front of mind stuff, where you come, QR code comes up. First person I think of is you. That's, you know, you'll see me like tweet things at you
mm-hmm.
about
yeah.
that
yeah,
because
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. Right, you just gave me an idea. You know, people want to be involved and stuff, and I've been toying around with the idea of, a lot of companies have a team section on their website of just like throwing up a team page mm-hmm. and just showing all these people that support the business. And even, I mean, even if, you know, they offer some similar service or something, like linking to them or having a little bio on them. And like, at the end of the day, it's just about being human, making connections and not taking life too seriously, and to involve people in the journey and being extremely intentional about, hey, like, I'm going to list you on the website because I love the fact that you shoot me stuff. I don't take it lightly, and I count you as part of my team.
That is so smart. Seriously. Anyways. Oh, I'm going to do that too. Damn you. Stop thinking of this good stuff. I need to shut my mouth because I'm giving you good ideas. No, that is cool. That is such a great idea. And yeah, what a community builder too. Ah, so cool. So cool. Dang. There's so much more that I want to ask you, but I'm sure we'll do this again because it's been really fun. But so how do people find you? How do people get to know you? How do people, you know, engage you?
Wait. I lost you after butt.
Oh, well, too late. No, just kidding. How do people find you, engage you, and get to know you?
Twitter handle probably is the best way to get hold of me. Mgalizzi, Mgallizzi. Mgallizzi. Go to the website getmobilenow.com, and it will redirect you to my website nodextech.com.
Very
so
cool.
getmobilenow.com.
That's awesome. Getmobilenow.com. Nice. What a brand. Dang.
Oh, yes.
That's another one.
I'm just,
I'll buy that URL off you. No, just kidding. Very cool, man. Okay, cool. So you have any big things that are coming up?
Oh, I am super stoked for the next few months.
Awesome.
I just, between like speaking stuff lined up, between some like super fun projects, there's a music festival with like 100,000 people that someone wants to run a QR code campaign, and like,
whoa.
I get to be a part of that experience, and I am just so excited for some of the stuff that's coming ahead. And even if I wasn't, I was still going to say that, because you have to be, and for as much as I'm kidding, and I genuinely am extremely excited for the next few months, you have to be forward excitement as an entrepreneur. Like, you mm-hmm. have to be. Like, I am excited for a few months, and to keep yourself alive as an entrepreneur doing your own thing, and I know that's a lot of your audience, you have to have that mindset. So,
oh, that's true.
Yes.
Because it's a roller coaster.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, that's dude, you're awesome. Seriously, you've like given
no,
me
you're
like,
awesome.
I need you give me like 20 quotes that
hold
I can
on,
use.
Hold on, bucket list 6. He said I'm awesome. yes, this call is coming out to be everything I wanted.
Oh, very cool. Yeah,
too much fun.
Cool. All right, man. Well, I will let you go, but thank you so much for being
on
the show.
When does the music come in?
Oh, not till after.
Yeah,
because.
I was looking forward to your music, man.
Yeah, basically, I cut it. I mean, I could, but yeah. Dang you. Hold on. No, because of that, you're getting music. Damn it. Okay, here's the music.
I'm crying.
And then, oh, my mixer. Hold on. All right. Bam. So take that, all right?
Nice.
And so this is where I would normally say, you know, it was an awesome interview, and I was so excited to have Matt Galitzi, but, you know, I really probably wouldn't say that now since since he totally just ruined, totally, and this is probably bucket list number 7, he totally just ruined my outro, and you're going to have to hear the music twice. Just kidding.
Nice. All right, man.
Cool, man. Well, I hope you have a good rest of your weekend. Have a good Memorial Day, and we will talk.
Cool.
All right. See you, man.
Peace.
Bye. All right. This is the actual exit music. Yeah. If you can't tell, that was an awesome and fun interview. All right. So yeah, one of the things that came from this is that Matt and I are starting to devise a community. Actually, he had already started a community, and it's called Entrepreneur Enclave. But what we're going to be doing is we're going to have a podcast, the Entrepreneur Enclave podcast, that helps to deliver content and in a more I don't know, community building way. So look out for that. That is going to be a good cross benefit for anyone who listens to So Totally Business Savvy to hear what it's like from someone who's just been there from the very beginning. Because, you know, I came from the more of the corporate realm, whereas Matt, he's been an entrepreneur his entire life. I don't think he's ever really, like he said, he really never had a real job. Just getting an idea from that, point of view, is something that's also valuable. Something that's very valuable because, you know, getting it from someone who has never had to deal with large corporations, large processes, large red tape, and so on, is something that I think a lot of people are going to start doing now, and it's a benefit in a lot of ways. So, Entrepreneur Enclave. We have about 6,000, I think, people following us on Twitter already. This is something that he had built a long time ago, but never really got off the ground. Now we want to start getting it and moving forward with it and delivering a lot of content, not only just content, but creating events, creating things that we can use to bring people together. All right, so... a lot of cool things happening, obviously, and things are only going to get better, especially in this next 6 weeks. So I'd love to hear from you, love to hear your ideas, any questions that you might have, anything that you want to hear about. If you want me, one of the things I've been thinking is, you know, if you want me to get someone and interview someone who's big, I will do that. You tell me who you want, and I will get that person. Maybe it's Brian Tracy or Chris Brogan or Gary Vaynerchuk or... whoever, just tell me who it is. I will go out and seek and try and get that person on the show and be able to, we'll do a live podcast where you could ask any questions that you want. And next week, I'm going to have Ted Wynn, PR guru of Southern California. If you want to know about press releases, if you want to know about public relations in general, something that is absolutely amazing and something that if you're a business owner you need to know. Then the week after that I have Chris Ducker from Virtual Business Lifestyle. He will be on the podcast as well. I'll probably take another break after that and just have me talking about something and answering your questions, but please, I need you. I need you to give me some feedback. It would be so awesome. Just questions, feedback, whatever. Tell me what you want and I will deliver. All right? But we have a lot of stuff coming. So dean@prosulum.com is the email address, and you can find me at youcanworkless.com, and 714-643-5301 is the number. See you all and have a great week.